the KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. ABQ Connect.
Our team does such cool things. The music of the season, Silent Night. Want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Jim Williams with you this afternoon on ABQ Connect. And our guests are Valerie Jamison and Roger Legendre with Stand True for Blue. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. I, for one, I remember going to a parade, the Thanksgiving parade. I don't know if they do this anymore, but I was 7 years old. I went to the downtown Thanksgiving parade in Albuquerque. And there were police officers there. And the police officers had these really cool guns, and they had, you know, their vests, and they just looked super bad. And as a seven-year-old, I just wanted to go up to one of them, but I was kind of scared. And so my dad just said, the police are always there for you. And I went right up to him, and he was exactly right. They were very kind and very nice and very gracious. And I bring that story up, Valerie, because I want to start with you. You are the founder of Stand True for Blue. And that reaction that I had is not the reaction that many people have toward the police. But you do.
Right.
And you love them, and you appreciate all the sacrifices that they make, and not just the individual men and women that serve, but you also appreciate their families.
Absolutely. When you think about these incredible people who are, in their humanity, choosing to step into a place of danger, a place that is scary for most of us, and they're running in, I just think, wow, these are our heroes. And their families watching their loved one leave the house knowing that they may not come back, to me, it hits heavy. It hits really heavy, knowing that this is what's happening in these families all over. And so that's why we step in. We want to see them.
What is the specific mission of Stand True? And start us off with how our listeners can help you.
Sure. The mission is we are a positive and encouraging presence in the community. We want to be a sustaining support for our first responders. And people can get involved. We have platforms over the many years. We've started in 2015, and we have established many platforms, schools, churches, neighborhoods, organizations, businesses. There's a place for everybody in our organization. So some of you may be listening. You may be thinking, I'm too young. I'm too old. I can't do something. But with Stand True, there really is a place for every single person to serve.
So if you're a 16-year-old male person on the band at your local high school, is there a job? Is there a way I could serve and encourage police officers?
Absolutely. We have, there's many different ways for the youth. We work with schools where we work with teachers where the students write letters of encouragement saying, this is what you mean to me. This is how I feel about you. One letter we scan, and it can go up to, you know, across the country to encourage our law enforcement. And so through letters, we do events. And if there's a band member that wants to come and play at one of our events, we will plug in and make a spot for them. I mean, we are very...
Well, what about a first grade teacher that's trying to teach a seven-year-old how to write thank you? Would thank you from a first grader encourage a police officer?
Absolutely. We have, I think those are the sweetest because they are, sometimes the letters are backwards. Sometimes they're, you know, they're just adorable. So, and pictures, you know, these little guys draw these pictures, and pictures really... they do speak, you know, 1,000 words. They don't even need to write anything. Just a picture alone encourages our first responders.
Tell us about the loss of two officers in 2015. These are people that you knew?
I did not know them. I was a teacher at the time, and Officer Webster was killed, and Officer Benner was also killed at that time. And I had a class of kids who a lot of them had parents that were law enforcement, and they were scared and they were angry and they didn't know how to deal with their emotions. So really, we put together an outreach, because we did a lot of outreach from my classroom, and gave these kids something to do through their emotions, through with their fears, with all this. They could do something practical. So what we did is we made posters and we hung them at his funeral, where his funeral was, and we made gift boxes, and we took them to the substations, and the kids were able to do something to show that they cared. But it really helped when they're going through these emotions, and it really helped for them to have something to do during that time. And a lot of times, you know, people think kids are young. What can kids do? But these kids started Stand True. Kids can do big things, and I love it.
And you do want people to volunteer, and you want people to serve. It could be a first grade teacher that has classes like that. It could be a high school student. It could be a retired old person that just wants to...
Yes.
Do something neat.
Absolutely. Every single person matters.
Okay.
Every single person matters.
I want you to introduce us to Roger. Roger is a former APD commander, so he's been on that side.
I have been. I served the city of Albuquerque for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was with the police department that entire time and went through the ranks. And I had the privilege to go to all kinds of different sort of situations and calls, and in the end, I ultimately found my greatest satisfaction working with the community. Mm-hmm. That's where it all begins. And that's ultimately where I met Valerie, is because I was working with the youth specifically, creating the camps that we have for the Albuquerque Police Department that serves kids 8, 13, and even junior police academies that served them all the way up to 18 years
old. So, Roger, I'm not sure the public, me, I don't know about those things. I mean, I know you guys answer calls for service. You're protecting the public. I don't know about your interaction with the public.
Yeah. This is a great topic. You can't have a police department without having the relationship with the community. And there are so many great programs, to include Stand True for Blue, that is definitely filling in that gap between law enforcement and community and creating that relationship. So just like the different things that Valerie was just talking about, those letters, those pictures, and whatnot that would be sent to the police department. I'll tell you what, as a police officer, often you go to so many scenes that have trauma based with them. They see more trauma than your average citizen.
Mm.
You know, your average citizen.
Times 100.
A whole lot. And that weighs heavy on an officer. So getting a letter from a first grader telling them how they look up to you, or you know, they feel safe because of you. Yeah, that definitely helps. Mm-hmm. Or getting, you know, any sort of those pictures, it reminds you of the good that's still in the world.
And I don't know which one of you wants to take this question, but you do a lot more than just encourage. There's some serious financial problems if a family loses a spouse who's on the street, man or woman. There's a serious financial impact to that family, and you guys do some significant things to help them. Tell us about that.
Well, what we do, our resources are limited, but what we have is we do have resources. And so we step into the area where we really are looking at the one. We want to look at the one. So if there is a need in front of us, we look at that need, we assess that need, and then we help find resources. If we can help financially, we do that. If we say, okay, we have a partner with this person, then we connect them. So we really are connectors. It's almost like a clearinghouse of resources is what we have become. But relationally, we're not clinical, we're relational. And so we like to see them, we like to say, what need can we meet, and lock arms with them, and really hand them to the next person, but not launch them, hand them and lock arms with the next person, so they get help, they are seen, they're respected, and they know that they matter the whole time.
I know that you have spent a lot of time in prayer about this. I know not everybody in your organization necessarily shares your faith, but they do allow you to pray over your organization. Tell us about the people that volunteer and help you, and again, are there needs right now where you just can't do certain things you'd like to do because you don't have enough people?
Yes, yes. And first of all, this the Lord started this organization, mm-hmm. and He gets all the glory. And so I'd like to start off with that. And so the only way we make it, we're celebrating 10 years and 10 years of His faithfulness and meeting the need. So we have, we are visionaries. We have ideas. We are meeting needs. We have different programs, our Thankful Thursday, our church, Adopt an Officer, our special unit. But we have dreams for a resource center that would end up being an app that would reach our first responders across the nation. Roger's a big thinker, and I like it. So we do have things that we would like to do to reach them individually and their families more individually than we are able to right now. So we do have some dreams and needs, but we also have the day-to-day. We get calls and needs every single day, and those are the resources that we appreciate as well as when we get the funds to help with that.
Roger, who are the people that are law enforcement officers, police officers? Who are they? Did you want to be a superhero when you were young? I mean, what led you to that vocation?
You know, I'd ultimately say that what's a police officer? Well, they're the most extraordinary, ordinary people you're going to find. Mm-hmm. They're your neighbor. They're your uncle. They're your aunt. They're everybody people. And often putting on that uniform kind of puts them aside and might make them seem like something untouchable. Similar to the story you shared in the beginning, you know, you wanted to say hello to them. Mm-hmm. Your father encouraged that. And to me, that was one of the greatest things your father could have done. He kind of mm-hmm. broke that gap to let you know they're just people. Mm-hmm. And that's what they are. They're people who have a heart of a servant. I'd say that 99.9% of police officers that get into that line of work, they're not in it to make money. They're not in it for glory. They do it because they want to help. They do it because they see a need in order to, they're blessed with the physical capability and the mental aptitude in order to make a difference in those moments that need somebody there that is capable of doing that. They are a protector. They are the sheepdog to this community.
I'm a former athlete, had the fortune of playing in the pit, and everybody there was for us. I can't imagine being in a situation where everybody's against you. Is that what they police officers feel like?
To answer that question, I feel it could be somewhat subjective. I think each officer feels different based on their experiences. I believe there are at times where, whether it be locally or at a national level, based on what's going on, where, yeah, it definitely feels like the world is against you.
And so take that. That's got to make you feel bad. But then this letter comes from an elementary school student. And then a high school student goes out of their way. A group of high school students bring some dessert over to the substation. I mean, I'm just thinking of ideas. And by the way, do you allow that kind of thinking? People have great ideas. They come share them with you and you say, yeah, let's go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We welcome them. You know, bring your ideas. And that's the fun of this is, you know, everybody's bringing what they can give and we make it, we help, you know, facilitate it and make it, you know, happen.
That's definitely a light for officers to see that. It reminds them why they started what they started so many years ago when they're in that a department and have seen the bad. When they see the good come in like that, I even recall a high school that brought in their small choir and they sang us Christmas carols one time.
That's awesome.
And they all brought cards and they strung the cards on a, you know, string, and we wound up hanging them in the substation. And it's just a reminder that there's people out there that truly appreciate what law enforcement does. And I believe that number is much greater than it is not.
What about that simple person walking up to a police officer and saying, thank you for protecting us?
That goes a long ways. When you want to talk about a police officer's morale, you know, they do see a lot of bad things each day. So when they have somebody come up and, you know, express some gratitude and appreciation, it's definitely uplifting. I remember I receive those often, and it was absolutely uplifting.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. Talk to us a little bit about some of your programs, like the Thankful Thursday and so forth.
Yes. Well, our heart is to partner with community to support our first responders. And so we have built up for the last 10 years different platforms within the community. One is our Thankful Thursday platform. And what that is it's a weekly email campaign that goes out that's coupled with a gift card giveaway. Encouragement. It can be a letter. It can be, this is where we scan the letters or pictures or quotes, and we send it out. And that goes across New Mexico and then into 27 other states to different
but
departments.
But you could use some help with that.
We need help. We need material. And I think this is where that one person that says, I can't do anything, they can reach so many people by saying, oh, I'm going to write a thank you note. I'm going to write a thank you note. I'm going to send an email to Stand True just saying thank you. I can print that out, scan it, and off it goes to thousands of first responders. So one letter can encourage a couple thousand people in 1 week.
And there's a lot more things Stand True for Blue is doing. We hope you'll stay with us till 2 o'clock. Valerie and Roger will be with us until the top of the hour. Roger is their community engagement director. He's a retired commander with APD. Valerie Jameson is the founder and the president of Stand True for Blue. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Find out about during this season how you might be able to encourage one of our local law enforcement officers in a very special way. Nothing too little, right?
Right, correct.
We'll be right back on ABQ Connect. Tayshawn, thanks for bringing us on the air so smoothly. Jim Williams with you this afternoon on ABQ Connect. My friend Valerie Jameson is in studio. Valerie, I've been talking to you about this, not for the whole 10 years. I think about a year after you.
Right?
I've been doing this for 9 here at KLYT.
Right.
Well, I guess I should say KNKT, and then that station, we merged everything into KLYT. So I appreciate you being here. I've just met Roger Legendre today. He's a community engagement director. And we just started in the last segment kind of an overview of what Stand True for Blue is. But now we want to talk, we were just talking about your Thursday program to send out emails. So Thankful Thursday. So let's talk about more things that you're doing, adopt an officer and other things.
Sure.
And talk to us about how churches, businesses, and individuals are involved.
Sure. Our adopt an officer is a program that's ran through our faith-based community, our churches. And it's basically what we do is we come in, we have cards with the last name of officers from the metro area departments, and congregants come up and they take a card and they commit to praying for that officer and their family daily. And so we've been doing that for many years. We've partnered with a lot of churches. Calvary's a huge supporter of us, and we're so grateful. But what we have now is we have at least one team of 4 families around every officer throughout the metro area praying for that one officer and their family.
Now, if somebody wants to get involved with that, what do they do? Do they call you? Do they reach out via email?
They can go to standtrueforblue.com, our website, and they can connect with us through that, send their information, and we'll connect with them. If there's a church out there that says, hey, we would love to do this, we have a short video that we show that talks about what we do that is shown prior to their service.
Go slow. Yes. And give us the website.
StandTrue4blue.com.
.com.
Yes.
Okay. StandTrue4blue.com.
Correct. Yes.
And they can find out more information. Can they reach out to you through the website?
They can. Yes.
Okay.
We have a contact page and any questions. If they're coming in and they're a church and they'd like to do even a coffee with a cop, anything like that, we can try to connect so we can make that happen.
With a cop.
Yes. Yes.
Roger, you know guys that will have coffee with citizens?
Absolutely. The department loves that. That's an opportunity for them to be able to engage with the community, whether that be a neighborhood association or maybe a faith-based organization.
Do people ask tough questions or do they just want to be encouraging?
A little bit of both,
okay. Actually.
So often, you'll agree on a location, and at that point, an officer, maybe three or four officers, you know, depending on what the department has available and can make happen, will be able to engage with the individuals who show up to a coffee with a cop. And that's where they can ask some of those questions to get to know what's going on in the neighborhoods and the community, and also what's going on with the officers. It gets them to be able to know the officers that are serving them each and every day. And I think that's important, you know, so we're not just seeing them as a uniform, but we're seeing them as people. And I think that's key in what we're trying to establish here as a community.
Absolutely.
We're all in it together.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked about letters and notes. We've talked about Thankful Thursday. We've talked about Adopt an Officer. I think if you're a person that leads a prayer group, maybe a men's group, women's group, or maybe you're praying on a regular basis, you might want to do this Adopt an Officer thing, because you'll get a specific name yes. of an officer, and you ask people to pray for that person every day.
Yes, and their family, because we have yeah. to remember that it's a family that's serving. Their loved one is walking out the door and has boots on the ground, but these are the family's the one that's left behind, you know, doing their thing to make sure that... you know,
let's talk about some of that.
Okay.
I mean, this might be a difficult thing for people to hear, because there's very, very stressful things that happen. Can you give us a little bit of that feeling?
Well, I'm going to let Roger answer this question since he was he's the qualified one here.
Yeah. You know, the families definitely go through a whole lot, you know, especially when you hear about police officer involved shootings or officers, you know, what happened with Dan Webster or what happened with Greg Banner, you know, it doesn't just affect their families. It affects them tremendously in ways that we can't even.
Well can we, I just kind of want to get people to understand how important Stand True for Blue is. When those officers were killed in the line of duty, there's something on the news that an officer was shot.
Right.
I mean, that's got to affect every single family in the entire Albuquerque Police Department or the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office or other law enforcement. That's got to affect everybody, because they haven't heard who it is.
It does. And it has that ripple effect. I remember my first year on, James McGrain was shot and killed and the offender was at large. Every night I went to work, my family, it was on a traffic stop. We do traffic stops. At that time, we were doing traffic stops all the time. I was a new officer, and you didn't know what was going to come out of that vehicle. So there is an inherent fear that's in you. Yes, you're trained and whatnot, and we're going into the unknown often. Mm-hmm. But when you hear something like that happens in the community where an officer's shot, it definitely raises your concerns and your family's. And every time you go out in that uniform, Your family, I remember my children, they were a lot of times sad when I was leaving my home, because they had seen it on the news and whatnot at the time, and they were upset that is something going to happen to me. And often it's, well, you know, I've been trained very well and I've got a lot of friends that are here to protect me. And, yeah. you know, I'm going to do my job the best I can, because the number one rule is to come home in the same condition I left home in.
Do you ever visit with any of these families? You know a lot of police officers,
right.
So you probably know their families.
Right.
Would it be encouraging to them if you or Valerie were to say, you know, Stand True for Blue, we have a group of people that pray for you guys every day. Would they be encouraged by that? I would.
I have actually a story of what that, the result of that. We were working an event in Rio Rancho, and this gal came up who was the wife of an officer, and she said, what do you guys do? And we were telling her about our programs, and then I started talking about the Adopt an Officer, and I let her know that there was prayer support for her and her family. And she started crying. She started crying because to her, that support was the greatest support, because it was a supernatural protection over her husband and her family. And she just didn't have words. She could hardly speak. And she just said thank you and hugged us and was just crying. Because that, when you know that people you don't even know are praying for you because they appreciate you, they care for you, they're spending time in prayer for you. That's a whole next level of support. And I think, in my personal opinion, I think prayer is absolutely the greatest support that we can give.
Yeah. Amen. Roger Legendre and Valerie Jamison with Stand True for Blue are with us this afternoon. They spend all their time in their organization encouraging law enforcement officers and their families. We hope you'll stay with us till 2 o'clock. Lots more to talk about, maybe something that you can get involved with. So I'm going to give Roger a shot as soon as we get back to talk about how individuals can get involved, maybe help you financially, maybe help as a volunteer. So we'll be right back. I hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. Valerie Jamison and Roger Legendre are with us from Stand True for Blue. We were having an interesting conversation during that last break that I want to go right to Roger with. Roger, I made the statement that, you know, the faith community. So you're on the campus of Calvary Church. KLYT is really available as a tool for the whole evangelical community. And a lot of churches are taking advantage of it. It's not really a Calvary thing. It's on the campus. They give us a place to be and they take great care of us, but it's actually a lot of different churches involved. I would say that the faith community should actually understand what evil means. But I think because the police department, and you have an analogy, I'm going to let you, I'm not going to steal any thunder, but it was really cool. I want you to share it with our listeners. I feel like we're so protected from evil that we don't really understand the evil that police officers deal with.
Yeah, absolutely, Tim. Jim, there's often the evil we see, we see it on the news. You know, the news will report what's going on, and that's the extent what the community often sees. It's the first responders, it's police officers that are actually showing up and seeing it live, in action, in person. And yeah, it's a lot for any person. When it comes down to it, the protection from evil, there's an old analogy where police officers are much like a sheepdog. The general community, they're sheep. And
that's actually a biblical analogy too.
And the sheepdog is protecting them from the wolf. And the wolf does come. And some of those sheep may engage with that wolf, but who's there to protect it and bring peace and keep, you know, bring calm to the chaos? It's that sheepdog. Every once in a while, that sheepdog, he might nip at those heels and write a speeding ticket, or, you know, he might nip at those heels and,
I love
you know,
that.
He might do some. So a lot of, even the sheep kind of, you know, they might be a little turned off by the sheepdog a bit, but in the grand scheme of things, it's that sheepdog that's going to come when that wolf presents itself.
Yeah, and I, again, the whole time we're talking, I'm thinking about Valerie, the people that you know, the families, the wives, the husbands of police officers that are on the street. We actually have many more women, at least I have observed that we have a lot more women that are serving on the streets of Albuquerque than we did even 9 years ago. So I think that's amazing, but no less stressful on their families.
No, no, it's the same. It's the same. Your loved one leaves and that, will they come back? What are they going to face? How are they going to deal with it? And I think the families, and Roger, please jump in because you've lived this from my experience. The ones at home are just trying to be involved and connected, and the ones who are out are trying to protect the ones at home. And so it can cause some stress, some strain, but they're trying to protect them. And there's just a lot of dynamics.
I'd say there's a lot of unknown as well, because so often there were calls that I would take that it were scary in nature or even dangerous to my own welfare that I didn't share with my family. I didn't want them to know, because if you let them know, that's only going to increase the worry.
But does that multiply the anxiety inside of you because you can't let it out?
I feel that it almost makes you callous in a way. It builds on you, but that becomes that burden that rests on your shoulders. And that's where such groups like the chaplains.
Why are you willing to give your life for us?
It's that heart of a servant. It's keeping that peace. It's because I'm able to. I'm like I said earlier, when you have the physical capability and the mental aptitude to be able to do that, and you genuinely care for you're the common man. That's why you don't want to see that wrongdoing. You want to keep peace. And blessed is the peacekeeper. Mm. You know,
yes.
Somebody has to step up. And in this city of roughly 600,000 people, we got just under 1,000 officers or so that are willing to do that. And you include the county and everything else, but you have a very small number of peacekeepers that are out there willing to do that. And that is, again, why expressing to children and teaching them young, no, these people are here to protect us.
Do you know any police officers, you're too young for this to happen, I think, but you know any police officers that have had a career, law enforcement, and then they have children who serve as police officers? I wonder if their anxiety as parents increase because they've been there and done that.
Oh, yeah. No, I know plenty of officers that have had that, and even officers that, you know, I went through the academy with or whatnot that have children that have become officers and have carried on. And they did a study, and I can't speak to the percentages, but years ago, there was a much higher percentage of children of officers that would wind up becoming officers. And that percentage has decreased over the recent years. And I think a lot of it has to do with the atmosphere of law enforcement nationwide. However, yeah, it is a scary, it can be a very scary profession because
of the— Do you think stand true in some non-political way, but just in an action way? You guys take action. You're doing encouraging things for law enforcement every day. Think that could rub off on our whole community and change the way we view police officers?
I believe that's the mission of Stand True. It's making that stay alive. We definitely want to make that ability to give appreciation and gratitude to police officers. We want to make sure that stays alive. I feel that that was a more apparent thought years ago. And as we get away from it, yeah, I feel that's where we have less people who are willing to obey officers and whatnot, which leads to use of force type conflicts. And it makes the job more difficult for officers. It makes the portrayal of officers where not in the brightest of lights, and we're not working together as well. So that relationship between community and officers is profound. And that's where Stand True for Blue is trying to fill the gap.
This is not on our list. And I'm going to end this segment with you call to action to our listeners about how they can help. But I was just thinking, as a community engagement person, do you engage the media? And I know you engage the media when there's an event, a terrible tragedy or something, but do you call on the media? Do you want them to know what's going on? This would be a good way to get people to understand police officers. My daughter was also does voice tracking for KLYT, Abby Williams. And she was at Channel 13 for a while doing production of news. And I have to say, she loved 13. Everybody there was really, really nice. But I think the news hurt her heart. I mean, it was just difficult because it's all bad news. And I think maybe there's a lot of good news. There's so many good things that the police are doing that we don't even know about.
I feel I can speak for the Albuquerque Police Department with the time I was there. We started doing a much better job with that piece as far as reaching out to the news media with the good programs that are going on and the good actions that officers are doing. But I also believe it takes a lot more than the own police department, so to speak, tooting their own horn, but from a third party organization such as Stand True for Blue being able to show that recognition on the good that is going on within that department or departments within the area that we serve.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
I love that. How can our listeners help?
Have a voice. You know, too often we only speak about the negative. Mm-hmm. You know, there can be 10,000 flights that are successful, but that one flight that isn't, we're going to talk about that one, and that's all the buzz. I feel talking about those other flights that are successful is just as important. So having a voice and expressing the gratitude for where things are done right and well, and they're satisfied with the services of our fine men and women of the departments that serve our local area. I think that's huge. Having a voice.
Yeah.
Speaking up.
There's people listening now And I think they listen with intent. This is not a background noise station. People are listening because they want to find out about ministries. They want to find out about public service organizations. They want to find out about the latest events and things and how they fit into that. And maybe God's put on their heart to help in some way. We already talked about prayer quite a bit. Mm-hmm. There's a way for you to engage and pray maybe specifically for an officer and their family. And you can engage at StandTrueBlue.com. StandTrueBlue.com. You can engage with Valerie at that level. How do people give to your organization if they want to help donate? Can you use funding?
Absolutely, Jim. We could use funding. And again, you can find that at StandTrueForBlue.com. We take donations. Those donations actually help programs such as the Thankful Thursdays and whatnot.
And this is a 501c3 nonprofit, so there'll be some deductibility to any contributions.
Yes.
And we always partner with the ones when we talk about our resource center. There's so many great businesses, and they're truly leaders in the community. And they support our local law enforcement officers. And we seek them out, whether they're people who give services, whether that's people who give massages, or whether that's HVAC companies, whether that's restaurants, whatnot. If they're already supporting police in that fashion, we like to connect them with the police within the area that we serve. So that's kind of where that resource center comes from. And if they want themselves to get known as far as wanting to help out law enforcement and those that serve, they can definitely reach out to us at StandTrueForBlue.com and let us know their intent to be able to support law enforcement. And we'll definitely get them put into the resource center that we then share with the law enforcement agencies we serve.
Well, we've talked a whole lot about things Stand True for Blue does. We're going to spend the last 10 minutes of our show. We'll take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors, which, by the way, we really appreciate you sponsoring the show. Again, I mentioned the intent of people listening. I think this is a tool for them. It's a tool for not only the Christian community, but the people in public service who just want to help other people. And we want you to know about that. So thanks to our sponsors. We'll be back after this message. And Valerie Jamison and Roger Legendre are going to go over some other things that are going on with Stand True for Blue and how you can get involved. Please stay with us. Merry Christmas to everybody. Jim Williams with you on ABQ Connect. I really appreciate you being with us today. We have 10 minutes left in the show. Valerie Jamison and Roger Legendre with Stand True for Blue are here. Valerie is the founder of Stand True for Blue. About 10 years you've been celebrating.
Yes.
And of course, I knew Valerie because she was a teacher at Hope Christian School, and several of my 5 children had her as a teacher. I always appreciate you asking about them, by the way.
They're beautiful kids. It's just fun to watch them soar.
I kind of like, and God's really, blessed. Roger asked me during the break if it would be appropriate, because I made a statement that the public, we don't hear much good news about the police. And there's actually lots of good news about the police. So you said, hey, can I bring people from APD on the air? And I'm just publicly declaring, this is a tool for you guys to encourage people that are serving our community to come and tell us who they are and what they are and how the faith community can support them. That's what we are.
Jim, I just want to thank you for that. And I'll definitely reach out to who I know with APD and see if they have the permission to come along. But there's definitely a whole lot of success stories and a whole lot of good that goes on every day within that department. And to include other departments within the area, Rio Rancho, Bernalillo County, and so on. But yeah, it would be great to get the positive stories out that we may not be hearing as a community.
Yeah.
But every day, there are absolute wins that are going on in each of those departments.
How does an officer get ready for the difficult possibilities they may face every day? It's one thing to get ready. I know what it's like to get ready for a Lobo basketball game.
Right.
And I don't mean to trivialize by comparing that to being a police officer. I want to emphasize that that's nothing compared to getting ready for every day at work as a police officer or a sheriff. How do you do that?
Going into work with a clear mind is key. So that's making sure that your affairs at home are well. You never want to leave home on a bad foot. You want to be good with your husband, your wife, whoever that may be, your children, your loved ones, and having your head in the game, much like as a basketball player, you know, understanding your plays and understanding who your team is and your training.
You know, is there constant enormous. Training, Roger? People might think you go to training once and that's it.
Oh, no, absolutely not. You know, they go through a six-month academy, and then they go on to 4 months of on-the-job training with a seasoned officer who's been trained to train others.
And then there's OJT every day.
There's also maintenance of effort. MOE is what they get sent
What happens to a police officer when they make a mistake? And I'm going to just use myself as I could never be a police officer. I wish that I could turn the other cheek. I should have a gentle, meek spirit. But, I mean, I hear people say things, and I just would rather knock somebody out than put up with some of that stuff. And I'm confessing that. That's sin. That's wrong attitude on my part, but I don't know how I could ever get over it. And I have great admiration. I've seen police officers getting cussed out. I saw a woman. She might have been 5'3". So I point that out because I know there's lots of 5'3" people, but she was not an imposing figure. But her countenance, her professionalism, she was 7'5". Mm. She put these people just with compassion and grace and strength right in their place. And they were cussing her out, and she disarmed the entire thing. And I just thought, wow. I'd have probably been yelling back at him. And that's a special skill. It's a special gift.
I believe the key is in the temperance of an officer, their patience, mm-hmm. all those, you know, virtues or whatnot are a part of what embodies a police officer. And, you know, being a police officer is a lot like being a parent. When you show up, you know, it's, would you let your children jump all over your couch and throw food all over the floor? No, you would address that.
Yeah.
And as a police officer, when you show up, it's like working with children in a lot of cases. You know, you show up, that's your home. You need to make it right. We need to have a solution. And you have to take charge, whether you're 5'3" or 6'7". You have to take charge and bring peace to the chaos that might be going on at that time and making sure everybody's okay. And that's key. And again, there's so much training that a department can offer any officer, but so much of it comes from the human that's inside of each and every one of them, that heart of a servant that just wants to be able to help their community.
Do they train you on how to let go of the stresses of the day at the end of the day?
They've done a lot better with that over the last, I'd say, decade.
And Stan True's in that gap too, right?
I'd say so, because Stan True definitely helps with morale and encouraging letters and setting on events that are there to support law enforcement. But there's a mental health and whatnot has definitely taken strides in the last decade or so within law enforcement. And it's important to understand those as an officer. I remember taking rides down. I'd take the long way home down a road such as like Rio Grande or 313, a long road with no stoplights and very little traffic, and listen to the music I enjoy, and take that little bit of decompression time after each shift, especially if it was a hard shift. Those would be the things I would do to decompress. And each officer either has or should learn a way to be able to decompress before they get.
Valerie, you have a quote. I need to write it down. I'm going to do it this time. I might even post it on Facebook, but you say something when I've had John in the past that police officers are constantly dealing, every person is having their worst day.
Yes. Yes. When you think about our worst day, we remember that. But the police officer deals with everybody's worst day every day.
All day.
All day for a career. I mean, a career. Wow. Everybody's worst day all day for a career. And that's why we as a community, that's why I say, you know what? We all can do something. We all can step in and we can champion them, because what would we do without them? They are my heroes. I mean, Roger is a rock star. and we are blessed to have him on our in our Standrew family.
Thank you, Valerie.
But I really want everyone to know that if they do one thing, for every day they do the one thing to say thank you or I see you, and just focus on the one thing in front of them. If everybody's doing that, we can change our community. We can change it. But it's an intentional, I'm going to do one thing today to support our heroes who are out doing this for all of us. And yeah, because we don't call them to say, hey, let's just say, can we, you know, hey, I'm Valerie, let's go have lunch. No, we call them when I'm, hi, I'm Valerie, I'm having a crisis. And so what we can do is we can show up for them.
Yeah. And there's people from 5 years of age through, as if you're still breathing.
Absolutely.
Like me.
Yeah. You're going strong, Jim. You're going strong.
I don't like being the oldest person in the room, and too frequently I am the oldest, but hey, whatever. God's still doing something, and I'm blessed to do that. Stand true. The number 4blue.com is the website. If you feel like you might be a good letter writer, if you just could write something encouraging somebody, if you want to actually get the name of a police officer that's operating, or a sheriff's officer, or a Rio Rancho officer, or somebody in law enforcement, and pray for them every day, you can do that through this organization, StandTrue4Blue.com. Valerie, one last call out to our listeners. I know there's people out there that want to help.
Yes. First of all, I want to thank everybody. Thank you, Jim, for having us. Thank you to the sponsors. Thank you for everybody listening. I really want to let you know that we need you, and that you have a voice, as Roger was saying, and that you have something to give. So this is a call to you, asking what is that one thing that you can give. Please touch base with us at Stand True for Blue. Let us know your talents, your heart, and let's change this community together.
Amen, and Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope these last few days are smooth and less stressful than you're anticipating. Thanks for listening to KLYT. We'll see you next time.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.